You're listening to Mindset Radio, the podcast created to expand your thinking and open up new perspectives.
We recommend you consult your ego, as listening may cause greater self-awareness, moments of self-reflection, and potentially uncomfortable insights, as well as behavioral and performance shifts, leading to incredible results. Listening may also enhance relationships with yourself and others, leading to an extremely satisfying and fulfilled life.
Now, here's your host, Jeff Bandman.
All right. Welcome back to Mindset Radio. I'm again, poised for another wonderful conversation. Joining me today, my friend, man I've gotten to know over the last year or so now, Michael.
Yeah.
And, you know, came and stayed at the house for what, two weeks or so last year, right? Come hang.
That's awesome.
Michael Osternock, thank you so much for coming on today and joining us.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me, and thank you for hosting me in Colorado last year. Yeah, that was awesome, man. Good time.
It was great. Yeah, it was great. I'm glad you had a chance. I'm glad I had the space for you to come hang, and you know, I think we had some really cool conversations. Yeah. And we've had really cool conversations. We're really cool, like voice message notes back and forth, thoughts and stuff. And you know, I wanted to bring you on the show because I just enjoy, you know, the way we explore things. I like your brain, as people will hear me now say multiple times on that podcast. You know, I really appreciate somebody's brain, like how they think about things. But like, what was it, a month or two ago, I sent you a note or sent you a text. You know, we were snuggling up a little man, and he said to me, he had told me that he was told that sorry, when you say I'm sorry, it means you'll never do it again. And, you know, I had an initial wave come over me. and it's been interesting to, like, that question has sat with me, like the context of that, the idea of that has sat with me now for a while. And if you're down with it, man, I'd love to explore that, because I think there's so much in there, right, wrong, and different, good, whatever might be. But I think it is an important component of how we think, right? And how we get to certain places. And I don't necessarily today think it's a wrong statement whatsoever. It was funny because he said, when after you and I talked about it and went back, and I said, hey, you remember telling me that, you know, sorry means you, you'll never do it again. And I barely got it out. And he was like, he was reading or work, he was drawing, coloring or something. He goes, yeah, I don't know if I totally believe that. I was like,
that's awesome.
All right. All right, Mr. 6-year old wisdom, you know, speaker, dude.
Your teacher.
Yeah. 100%, man. 100%. But if you're down with it, I'd love to just kind of, I'd love to like go through your initial reaction to that. I want to talk about my initial reaction to that. Like, I can now see all of my garbage that came and inserted itself right into that moment, you know, and I think we hear things all the time, you know, that ping us, right? They disrupt the system. They are, they may be uncomfortable thoughts to sit with. And so if you're down with it, man, I'd love to just walk that road with you, you know, as a phenomenal therapist, right? Especially as a couples therapist, because you do primarily couples work. And I think this concept in that context is wildly important. Like, where's the value of our apologies, you know? And I know the value of my apologies over my life has really reached zero in many ways. You know, because it just didn't hold merit, partly because I kept repeating the same mistake. So let's get into it and unpack it. So I want to hear your first thoughts.
Yeah. So if I remember, actually, I remember the text. And I remember our conversations. And I was like, that is so cool that this is a conversation you're having with your son. I just thought in and of itself, wow, what a great opportunity for you to think about stuff, be with things, but also explore it with him as best as you can with a 6-year-old, right? And contextualize in broader relationships that you're all part of. Don't necessarily have to get into on this Zoom or on this conversation. But one of my first thoughts was, what are the agreements that people actually have, in this case, you and in your family, on how you deal with apologies or saying, you know, sorry is just the term, but the apologies. Yeah. Is there actually an explicit rule that you all have created and how to deal with those kind of things? Because my experience is 99% of people don't have an agreement on how to deal with most things. It's mostly unconscious processing from family of origin and religion and ethnicity and nationality that kind of come in and influence one's behavior. And that most people actually don't sit down and go, you know, if I F up or you F up, and how do we handle this? Not necessarily the specific issue, but like in advance of specific issues. So there's some ground rules that you can create. And this is not necessarily the six-year-old. I mean, you know,
but this leads down to, yeah, this is going to distill down, but I think you're, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you have an adult partner and you can do this with teenagers, and as they get younger and younger, it's a little bit more challenging, but you know, what's the agreement on how to deal with this issue? What are the ground rules? And you have to be as honest and open about those and clear as possible about those. And the clarity is really, really important, because if you just say something like, we're just going to be honest, but you don't define what honesty means, or we're going to clean up our mess after the fact, but you don't define what actually that looks like and what it means and how you can assess that, whether you've done that or not, then it's too amorphous. And it's like, so not only do you have to have, I think, agreements, clearly defined the guidelines, but you have to define your terms. So behaviors can be assessed over time and you determine whether you're living into your agreements. And over time, you might want to reevaluate the agreements because maybe they don't serve the relationship as they once did. So I'll leave it at that for now. Turn it over to you. What are your thoughts on that?
My head is spinning right this second. Yes. I mean, I think you're dead on, man. I mean, because we come from, like you said, right? We come from cultures. And we come from our upbringings and like the context of how we grew up and what we observed in others around us, you know, what we collected subconsciously, unknowingly, what patterns got created, you know, in ourselves and others, how we watched other adults behave and communicate back and forth. Like all that goes into, you know, then relationship. But like you just said, how often do you sit down at the beginning of a relationship in any way, shape, or form, business, intimate, doesn't matter, right? Any type of let's call it persistent connectedness with another human being, and say, hey, listen, let's talk about what we're going to do if things go wrong or if I screw up, or, you know, how does that land for you in, you know, what are your expectations of me in my apology, in my, I'm sorry. What expectations do you have? And that's that right there. Pull up a chair. We'll be here for a while. Bring up the popcorn. No.
Well, I mean, what's fascinating about it, just let me just speak to the expectation things. That's really important too. I'm glad you use that term, because most of us have expectations. We don't articulate them. And then we judge the F out of the other person for not meeting them, although they can't read our minds to know what they are. And then there's all the stuff that emerges over time that just troublesome for the relationship. So like lay the expectations on the table, and maybe some of them are like inappropriate for the type of relationship you have. At least you can talk through them. Or maybe some of them land really well with your partner, but at least like put them on the table. You have the conversation with them and you can both agree. And that's the key, is like there's an agreement between two parties or more. Yeah. So I love the fact you brought up expectations as a key part.
Yeah, man. Cause I mean, that's dude. Yeah. I mean, cause I got enough history to, you know, analyze the crap out of it. But yeah, I mean, I think that is, it just, my brain is literally running with like all the pitfalls that would have kept me out of just simply exploring that. Like, how did you grow up? How did I grow up? What did it look like when people were responsible for their actions or their behaviors with you? What were the expectations you now have and got created on how people responded or didn't respond to you, you know? Because I think a lot of times as adults, we want what we didn't get, you know, as in our childhood, you know, and so we create these expectations that, oh, this person is going to act or be the way I need them to act or be, and then they don't. And, you know, we let each other down and off we go. And then I'm sorry comes, you know, but I guess I think the thing about it is, one, what is your context of apology?
Yeah.
Right. And are you willing to evaluate whatever the behavior was or the thing was, not in your lens, but in theirs?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the pieces I've had to really learn to do over time, you know, and it always comes way far late, too late, but it still shows up. I mean, I think that's,
you know, let me speak to that too, man. Cause I think that's important. The understanding their perspective, like that is something that unfortunately in many couples or in families relationships is not kind of key or foundational. And it requires a depth of curiosity. Like, ooh, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you hold that perspective? I want to understand how you see the world. If you don't have that as a basis of the relationship, you might survive in a relationship, but it's not necessarily going to thrive. So I really like that fact that you brought that up.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think when I look back, it's like that's, you know, oftentimes, especially in partnership, right? Especially when in more of an intimate or personal relationship with somebody, you know, you don't come from the same context, you know, you've kind of linked somewhere in the pattern of life. And it's not always the case that I have great relationships with the guys that I served with or grew up in the fire service with, and we have similar context and kind of similar ethos or ideas of how to act and behave and communicate with each other and demonstrate respect and blah, 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 and all these things. But, you know, when you come together, like, I can't think of a time that I sat down and unpacked, you know, how sorries or apologies occurred for me or how I would honor my apologies to my partner. How do you approach apologies? Let's say, somebody is sorry for what they did, but yet, you know, the other person maybe doesn't feel that. Right? Doesn't actually get the physiological indicators of that, maybe. You know what I mean? And so they're still pushing back on that apology. And so you fall into this trap of maybe you're not quite hitting it and somebody's not accepting it. What are your thoughts on that? If that makes sense to you.
Yeah. So, it does. So I'd be curious. Let's just start with the person who's doing the apology. I would watch their language. I watch their tone and their volume, because all three of those variables can have an effect on how it's received by the other person. So if you listen to the words they use, so I look at it. So let's just start with the person who's giving the apology first, and I look at what they say and how they say it, their tone and volume. Because that can determine a lot of how it's received by the other person. It's like, you know, what words do they use? And then how they use those words, like the tone and their volume and stuff. That's one thing. So, you know, I might work with the individual, like, to be more aware, self-aware of how they do that. Because I've noticed a lot, like, you know, their intent is good, but their delivery sucks as it's perceived by the other person, right? See, the other person's not going to be able to hear it because the tone's off, the volume is high or low, whatever it happens to be. The words are much mismatch. They don't make any sense to the person receiving the language. So it's like, okay, let's work with the person on how you actually present the apology to your partner is one first step. And it's not only – let's stick with that partner. So not only like words they use and the tone and volume, but like what do they mean by I'm sorry and apologizing? What is behind that? Do they know what they're apologizing for? Are they clear on the behaviors, which maybe they didn't live up to, that the other person has expectations on? You know, so that clarity is really important. So there's a lot of questions perhaps that need to be asked by the apologizer, so they have clarity around what they're apologizing for, and so they can make sure that them and their partner are on the same page in terms of the expectations moving forward. Okay. And that goes back to the agreements and the expectations we just talked about.
Well, can I throw something, and I want you to keep going. What just hit my head was the realization that the apology is not for the person apologizing. you know, and I'm just gonna leave it there. Go.
Yeah. No. I mean, you want to say, if you could say more to that, that'd be awesome.
Well, no, I just, you know, I think sometimes if I look back at my own life, because I mean, I'll happily use myself as an example. There have been a lot of times where I've apologized that it's like, you and I have talked about this. I mean, I grew up at a time where shame and guilt were the tools used, you know. Yeah. And I think, honestly, if I reflect back, a lot of my apologies were like more get out of jail free cards, or like somehow let me get off the hook of this. Let me not be responsible for this, or let me, you know, rather than truly like stepping all the way in to own the entirety of things. And so, and it just came to me as like, oh no, I can see at times where my apologies have been selfish in a way, I think. Yeah. Been more trying to like be let go of something, not actually realizing actions or behavior or words or whatever made an impact on someone else.
Yes. And I think unfortunately a lot of our behaviors in the moral sense are driven by that, as opposed to a deep reflection on who we are, how we show up, and what we do. So I right on for what you said, and which is actually a good segue. I'll stick with the apologizer person. You know, I would see every opportunity one has to apologize for whatever it happens to be is an opportunity for some deep self-reflection. Mm-hmm. Like, what did I say? Did I do what I said I was going to do? You know, whatever. We have no context. We're not talking because I don't know what we're apologizing for, but like, reflect on like a virtuous life. Like, am I showing up the way I really want to show up? Am I doing what I say I'm going to be doing? .. And then you look at it, you look at your behavior and you look at your values and say, they're out of alignment. So not only do I need to clean this up with this particular person, but I need to reflect on who I am and how I'm showing up and do the inner work that require me to be back in alignment. So I love what you said. It's not just a throwaway line to get yourself out of trouble. No, it's more like it's a way to reconnect or deepen your connection to your partner or this person, and also reflect deeply on like what my character, who am I? How do I want to show up? What character defects do I have that I need to fix, you know, or evolve or grow or whatever happens to be, whatever language you want to use. So that's just with the individual. Apologizer.
Yeah, man. No, I think it's huge. I mean, I think that's a big piece of it. It's like, if you know you need to apologize for something, because I think we all generally, if we know we need to apologize for something, that's where things start to get, I think, wonky. It's the things that we do that we had no awareness of that actually the most genuine apology comes from. Just a thought, it like an initial reaction. You know what I mean? Like if I totally said something and, you know, offended the crap out of you and it just was not anywhere in my space, and I had no context that would have done that. And you come to me and you're like, hey dude, you were a total jerk. And I'm like, oh wow. You know what I mean? Like in that moment, I can see all of that and I give you that genuine apology. Like, you know, I think there's a natural flow to that versus, you know, if we know we're doing something we shouldn't be doing, or we know we're doing the wrong thing, or we know we're not honoring ourselves or the people around us or blah, blah, blah. You know, it's almost like we're pre-gaming the apology along the way, right? Because we're looking for outs, we're looking for some justification or whatever it might be, some crap.
I want to go down that path, but I've actually seen this with a lot of couples, and I see this a lot of men to women, but it could be both vice versa, and I'm sure with other arrangements of human beings. But I think what you said is it's really around intent with the example you gave. Like, hey, my intent was not to hurt your feelings or upset you or whatever. Okay. If you start with your intent as opposed to acknowledging what you caused in the other person, and cause is an interesting thing because we can always have the conversation like people are responsible for their own experiences, their own feelings, their own thoughts. You can't cause something in another person. We can have that conversation, but we'll just use it for conversation's sake. Like, yeah, you said or did something that caused a reaction in the other person. Okay. If you start with, that was not my intention, I find that dismisses their experience.
Right? Yes.
And women, and I make this like a man-woman thing. Women fucking hate that shit. Like, hey, just acknowledge how I feel.
And then you can share the fact that it was not your intent. Don't try to fix the story. Don't try to fix me by fixing the story. Acknowledge my feelings. And then you can share the fact that whatever was the intent behind whatever you said or did. And it, I mean, it goes both men and women, but I just find with a lot of my couples, it's usually the men trying to fix the feelings of the woman by not acknowledging them, just fixing the story.
Well, yeah. I mean, and from, I mean, what's the statement? Best intentions or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I mean, I out of my cage, man. But well, yeah, dude. I mean, to be honest, like if I look back, I mean, most of the times I wish I could have aligned my behaviors or actions with my intentions. I wish those had been, I felt like those were radically misaligned most of my life. Just for whatever, not evil intentions or anything else, just the way it came out, just the way it was. And the guilt and shame were driven by that intention, right? By that misalignment, if you will, a disproportionate level of shame and guilt, because my intention, the things that I wanted inside were, I was unable to then convert into behaviors or actions or whatever it might have been at the time. Okay. Does that make sense?
So then
this kind of flip back loop comes about at times. And then I'm arguing my intention, not my actions, which then discredits the experience of the other person.
You know, and it's also important too, because you brought up shame and guilt a few times, and you know, shame is like I didn't do something wrong. I am wrong. Innately wrong with me. We'll put that aside. Guilt is there's a particular behavior I did, which doesn't align with my values. And I feel guilty about that. But I think it's important to look at guilt and values too, because that's another thing I think is important for each of us as human beings. What are our values? What are our agreements with ourselves and how we want to show up and operate in the world? And not be blind to or unconscious about other social forces or cultural forces, which give us rules to follow, but we haven't chosen consciously. We've chosen them unconsciously. And then they have these internal battles. And, you know, nothing's wrong with religion. Nothing's wrong with various forms that, cultural influences that come in and can drive us to certain behaviors. As long as we're conscious about them, we're making choices. Like because if you're doing it unconsciously, then you're not doing it morally. Like you're just because there's a social force pushing in the right direction. So it's not really from a place of choice. And if it's a place of choice, then you can assess yourself being in alignment. But then you also have to have the conversation with the other person. I literally just did a video about this the other day. You know, you said I work with couples, and I do work with couples, but I also do a lot of individuals, and I run groups and stuff. Mm-hmm. And with the individuals I work with, I have a really interesting whole person developmental program I've created. And a piece of that is looking at values and making sure we embody our values. And I think it's really important to ensure that we're clear on our values, that we're embodying them. But then we have agreements with people in our lives. Our partner, our buddies, our workmates, Amazon delivery guy probably comes to my house every day or used to, that kind of stuff. But people in your life who are really important, but I articulate to that person, my accountability partner, this is how I want to live my life. And I'd love for you to help me hold myself accountable to that. Now, I know some people are going to say, well, yeah, we're sovereign, your self-responsibility, you should hold yourself accountable. Yes. And we're social creatures, we're human beings, we fall for the horse, the couch, we don't always live up to our own expectations, and it can be really good. I think you guys call them ranger buddies, seal fit, swim buddies, a person or people in your life who just say in different ways, depending on how you want to be received, how you need to have it received, like, hey, you're not living up to the values that you've agreed to. Let's have that conversation. Like, what's going on? Maybe you need to reevaluate your values or look at your behaviors, and you need to do some inner work, and I can help you help be held accountable. That's what a good coach can do, or a good therapist can do, a good accountability partner, as one example.
Yeah. Dude, I love this. I mean, literally, this is everything that has been spinning through my brain from just this simple question, because, I mean, just even now, 25 minutes or so, 30 minutes into the conversation, and I had kind of come to this conclusion that the statement of, in its purest form, if you say I'm sorry, it does mean you're intending to not do that again, right? That yeah. you are accepting what you did, the impact it had, and the responsibility to not have that impact again or not have that occur again, right? And it was just interesting to me. I mean, partly why I sent it to you the next day. I felt all my stuff just get inserted right into that. Like it was crazy. Yeah. I was like, whoa, I'm not saying, I'm just going to listen here. I'm just listening, right? I didn't add to it. I didn't correct it. I didn't argue against it. I just sat with it. And because I was just like, okay. Because my instinct was, oh, well, that just means if you screw up again, you know, that's just going to open that line for more shame or more guilt bad, right? And it just played like my world laid out in front of me. And I was like, wait a minute, that's my world. And it may be indicative of others. However, I'm going to be responsible now and own what I'm bringing to that party, that conversation, that thought, that idea. I'm not going to, you know, dump it into it. Just let it sit for a little while and let it marinate. Yeah. And that's why I've been looking forward to this episode because, you know, I would say it's a correct statement, you know, contextually and explained properly or really taking a look at. It's the right statement to make, in my opinion.
Well, you know,
and you can argue against that if you want.
No, I'm not going to argue. I was going to kind of put it in the larger context of, and you and I talked about this, like intergenerational transmission of behaviors, right? It's like, hey, I'm not a parent. You're a parent. So I say you and parents I work with have a responsibility, the ability to respond as opposed to react, to stop the transmission of bad behaviors that transmit down the family line to the next generation. Like we can say, ooh, this stops with me. I don't have to do this anymore. Hey, and I don't have to judge my father and my mother and their parents. And
right.
Like they did what they did down the family line. And cool. I can understand it. I can accept it. I mean, and maybe there are moments in the therapeutic process I have to judge the fuck out of it and be angry and cool.
Sure.
But eventually you get to the other side of that. And you're like, okay, I see why they did what they did. I can have compassion for them. But I can stop this with me. Like I don't have to continue these behaviors. And the first step in that, you've already named it, is like, wow, just sitting, like breathing, like something you teach, right?
How do I frame this for, my son? And how do I even answer the big question well? You know what I mean? Cause it's like, yeah. And I have, you know, I've tried to, and I continue to try to, especially in things like that, that are, I mean, that's a big thing in a little boy growing up or a little girl, you know, and almost anybody. I mean, that's a big thing. That's a big conversation for an adult to handle in some ways.
Completely agree.
But it's been really cool to just sit back into it and watch it. And then what that's actually done for me as well is it's created multiple examples for me with him to kind of draw back to right? Yeah. And some encouraging and then some lessons to learn and handle it in a more calm space so, okay, cool. I now fully agree with that statement, but there's a road from here to there for that statement to be baked in, right? As he grows up or even for an adult, as we're redeveloping ourselves or growing into something or, you know, making those modifications. Like I think we have this, and you and I are going to do another episode probably on just on urgency alone. It's been constantly coming up. But sometimes we almost feel like we need to get something in, you know, get that idea planted or as early as possible. And we just don't leave room for kind of self-maturity there in a way. Yeah. And I don't care if you're an adult or a 6-year-old, mm-hmm. right? We all still have to mature into these places. But yeah, man, I mean, just what a bag of worms
I love some of your choices of words. You've just used the word maturity and I've used the word character. And I think those are two words of which we need to bring back into the coaching therapeutic process. Yeah. Really, really important. And the maturity thing is like an evolutionary process. And one of the things that crossed my mind when you were kind of sharing about what you're just sharing with is like, it's an iterative process and it requires flexibility of mind and a playful approach. Because one of the things I would worry about was like, oh, I wouldn't want my son to start feeling shame about behaviors, which would then limit him to act in the world. Like he's then afraid, like, oh, we don't want that.
Exactly. And that is, you just articulated exactly where my brain went. You know, and I do want him to grow up feeling like an honorable human being, like an honorable man, like that he's capable of himself and that his apologies hold weight. And he understands that, you know, that is it. And then I think, you know, probably since about 2020, I told the girls at one point, my daughters at some point that I said, you know, hey, as you go through life, you're going to find things that you're not happy with me about. You know what I mean? There's going to be things that are going to come up. And I made a promise to them years ago that I would never take their experience from them. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that goes back to what we talked about early on, like actually sitting in and acknowledging the experience of whatever something caused, right? Before the intention comes out, before the apology comes out, right? Before the avoidance of, I mean, I spent my life kind of feeling don't hit me too hard. You know what I mean? Like I'm sorry, you know, and as sorry was, and it was almost like defensive, like a defensive posture. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I got the opportunity to meet one of your daughters and she's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. We just did an episode the other day. We're going to do a couple more.
We talked about the individual who is making the apology, like their tone, their volume, the words that they choose, reflecting on one's behaviors and alignment with their values, all that stuff, really important. But let's talk about the partners receiving the apology.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so my questions, if I was working with a couple that way, is like, you know, how do you receive apologies for the person receiving it? And kind of doing a deep dive with them. Because there are programs in them on how to receive apologies, mostly unconscious from the culture and the religion and family of origin stuff.
Sure. You can
deconstruct all that and help them learn to accept apologies as they might naturally want to, independent of the cultural forces, or in addition to the cultural forces, at least they're conscious of it. And I work somatically with people. So not only is this a cognitive, like, oh, how do I think about receiving apologies? But actually, how do I physically, somatically receive apologies? And we talk about hard armor or, you know, armor of the physical body, the fascia, the muscles get contracted. I can hold my breath. You know, so it's like I would also work with the individual, both in this case, the receiver, of like, is there contractions in the system that makes it hard to feel and hear and receive the apology? And it's also the same with the person giving it, too. They might be contracted against, like, I'm fearful because I have to admit that I'm wrong and that there's a whole series of consequences in my mind about that. So like, it's not just a cognitive process back and forth, but like, how do we deconstruct the armor that doesn't allow us to feel fully the connections and the apologies and the receiving and giving of the apologies too? Yeah. That's also an important thing too.
The apology, it's got to be given authentically and then it's got to be received, right? And it actually has to be taken in and processed and then evaluated to be like, okay, I mean, because like, let's talk about the acceptance of the apology. I mean, we'll close out with this in the last few minutes or whatever. Like the response, you know, we talked, I think, earlier, and I feel like we made a fairly solid point around fully owning the apology you're giving, right? Fully owning the sorry that you're giving and whatever may come from that, right? And we're not in our heads, like you just talked about, trying to preempt any consequences, right? Trying to game and move and shape and this and that, whatever else. And if you need me to write a book on it, I could. But there's also a moment of when the apology is accepted that comes with a level of responsibility as well. Right. You know, and so maybe we can unpack that a little bit, because I don't think that's a part that gets spoken about often. Right. Like kind of the do's and don'ts post, like once you've acknowledged and accept that apology and you've maybe, you know, articulated the consequences or you've laid out whatever, you know, needs to be done in that time and space, Like, what's the responsibility of the person that, that accepted that apology? Where do they sit?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll be curious since you articulated the question. What do you imagine the answer would be? Like,
I mean, I would think like if I take somebody's, if I accept somebody's apology, if I'm like, okay, you know, one, I really, you know, I grew up in a space, I don't know how you did. And I think a lot of people did where we just kind of, we just, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
Is the most common response, right? I'm sorry. It's okay. When really it's not, you know, or wasn't or hadn't been, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot left in that space. But I don't know, man. I mean, I think it would be, you know, one, I think, and I'm just going to talk from my end because I'm not going to project my feelings on anyone else in the world. But I know for me, I never, up until recently, I would say I did not know what forgiveness felt like. So, I'll just let that one sit for a minute.
Yeah.
So one, recognizing that there was a block on my side, like not letting that apology go, saying I accepted the apology, but then holding that resentment or holding that upset or holding those things, you know, holding those feelings of that, whatever it caused. I know I've been guilty of that at times.
So I love your language because you're using somatic language. I'm holding on to. I can't let go of, right?
Ship.
Yeah, so we use language.
This is not mindset radio in terms of your brain. Yeah, this is the set of minds that make up the human system. Sorry.
Yeah, no. It's perfect because it's really important for us to listen to our own language because it really describes how we do things. Like, because we are physical beings. We do hold on to things in our system. And I love what you just said in terms of forgiveness and not being able to let go. You know, and I was thinking, like, wow, because I'm a visual person, so you're talking, I can see this. And I was like, you know, intimacy, into me you see, right?
Yep.
So it's like, you know, you apologize to your partner, but you have to be open to how your partner experiences that whole process. Like you want to be open to, you want to see, hear, feel them in that process. And if they are unable to a certain degree, really receive your apology, what's that about? Now, some of it could be your presentation and some of it could be their programming, right? Like, oh, wow. Yep. So not only is it like me, I apologize, I need to look at my values, I had to embody my behaviors and do some self-reflection, but the person receiving the apology, if they're unable to let it go, whatever the hurt was, and in most cases, not always, it's like it's a buildup of things over time that might not even be specific to you in the relationship. It's like, oh, you know, it goes back to family of origin stuff and previous relationships and just kind of builds up over time, right? Yeah, you and I have actually had some of these fun conversations. You know, so like the intensity of the feelings might not be specific to the hurt from that individual at that particular time in life. It could be building up.
Right.
And so like, wow, so the one receiving the apology then has, if you really want to take the relationship seriously, the responsibility to like start reflecting, like, oh, wait, like there's stuff going on inside of me that I need to deal with. It's not just about my partner and whatever they might have done that I'm, you know, assessing and blah, blah, blah. It's like, wow, there's stuff, like I'm like holding on to the stuff I need to work on. So like, hey, great, go see a therapist, go work with a coach, like, you know, do some self-reflection, do some meditation, you know, do the inner work necessary to clean the system up. And as a somatic practitioner, you know, I would suggest working with not just cognitive behavioral, like it's not just about the thinking. It's like literally you said, like, hold on to it. Like you literally hold on to it energetically, somatically, in the breath and the posture and the muscles. Like that stuff needs to be worked out and through so you can open up the system, so you can really let go of this stuff and forgive. And forgiveness is, maybe there's a behavior of that person. Maybe it goes back to the family of origin. And it's also forgiveness of self, because I'm sure there's some stuff in there about yourself that you need to forgive. Like there's a lot of stuff in there to let go of.
Why do we do that again? Why do, can't this just be easier? Right.
It's simple, but I mean,
dude, 100%. And I think that's right. I mean, I you know, I think you know me well enough to know that like whatever's going on up here is temporary. You know, I mean, it's going to drop in and it's going to start holding, you know, in body for a long time. And, probably if I looked back at the things that I held on to most, right? Post-apology, post-it's okay, whatever else. It actually wasn't at the time. One, I wasn't honest in my acceptance of the apology, right?
Yeah.
I didn't express impact. I didn't express all the things. Probably just grateful for a moment of peace or something along the way. But I think the things that that weighted me or stayed with me were things that if I looked back at life, if I did that self-reflection, you could see the pattern, you know, all the way back. And so whatever that person was causing was not like a clean, oh my God, this is the first time, it might be the first time for them.
And that requires really a depth of commitment to the relationship, a depth of really deep ability to communicate, be honest and open and transparent and vulnerable. Some people don't like the term vulnerable, but open, right? Because you need to be able to share the depth of what's going on for you, but you need to feel safe to do so. Like you're not going to be judged and attacked and beaten up for it, you know, and or even if the person does, there's reflection like, oh my God, I there's another apology back. Or like, you know, you shared it with me. Oh, I'm honestly and open what was going on for you, and it triggered the fuck out of me. And I got really judgy and like, oh my God, I need to do some work. Okay, cool. So no one's perfect. Like, you know, it's not gonna be a perfect conversation all the time, but then you get to the point of like, whoa, I got some stuff to work on because I was really judgy with what you just shared with me. And my instinct was to shut you down because I didn't like to hear what you just said. Like, oh, okay, cool. We got some work to do individually and as a couple.
Listen, I mean, a great exploration of something we probably, most of us, I did, take for granted, right?
Yeah,
the sorries, you know, we throw them away a lot.
Yeah.
And we almost expect them to be accepted sometimes.
I love what, a new path for me to explore now is what you said is like using apology or I'm sorry to like, I don't have to deal with this. It's like, oh, I don't have to look at my own behavior. I don't have to look at how I'm showing up. I don't have to look at my own values as opposed to, I need to really reflect on myself. And I'd love to use this as an opportunity to deepen my connections with this other human being. So great, man. I love this. You just gave me like stuff that I'm going to go for a rock. Think about it on my
way. Good. Yeah, man. Think about it, you know, and then call me and let me know what's going on. So, all right, brother. Well, thank you so much for your time and effort. I wish I was hanging out down there with you. I could use some warm weather and a good surf session right about now.
There you go, buddy.
We'll have to plan
98
that.
Degrees. Come on down.
That's going to wrap up today's episode. And thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's conversation and want more, you can follow Jeff on Instagram at Mindset06Actual and on TikTok as Mindset Radio. Also, check out the Mindset Radio YouTube channel as Jeff will be taking everything he's learned over the last 30 years about life, performance, and human behavior into a series of lectures and thoughtful explorations. If you're looking for a like-minded community, then we'd love to see you in our group, Hang with Jeff, where we go deeper into topics like we discussed today with direct support, live Q&As, and a whole lot more. Head on over to mindsetradio.com/hangwithjeff. Again, that's mindsetradio.com/hangwithjeff. Now, if you're feeling like you could use some one-on-one attention or direct support, you can always head on over to mindsetradio.com/bookme and grab a slot anytime. That's mindsetradio.com/bookme and grab a slot anytime. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and share. After all, it's what makes the world go round. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.